Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, all the listeners, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now you can listen to us live at noon Eastern time, Tuesday through Friday. Join us for this amazing, amazing show. Join our Facebook group community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Search for us on Facebook at Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe to the show, rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app, or right here on Blog Talk Radio, wherever you're comfortable listening to the show. On this show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and other amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests, this is a live show, so you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show Michael Hudson. What's up, my friend?
Hey, Sean, how are you, man? Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you. I'm looking forward to our conversation and excited to have a chance to share some ideas with your listeners.
Dude, I'm super, super pumped to have you on the show, man. I was a guest on your show, and I would say that it went very, very well. We had a great conversation. So, yeah, man, good times. So I'm excited to carry that forward into this show. So the title of this episode is Big Ideas and Strategies with Michael Hudson. Michael is the founder and principal of Big Idea Guru, LLC, and a keynote speaker and strategy coach. He was bitten by the entrepreneurial bug at an early age, starting his first business when he was just 7 years old. He went on to start a disc jockey business in his teens and a cabinet and countertop business with his father while in college, before running away from home to become a college professor. During his tenure in academia, he spearheaded two nationally recognized business programs, one at Cornell University and the other at the University of Illinois, before leaving the academic world to turn to his entrepreneurial passions. Since then, he has helped over 3,000 businesses, entrepreneurs, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies to create their strategic visions and communicate into existence. After growing up petrified to speak in public, Michael is committed to helping people develop their ability to communicate their messages to those who need to hear them. He regularly speaks at conferences and conventions, sharing his personal story, revealing the power of personal experience to lead the audience to take action, and has delivered over 8,000 paid presentations across the past 34 years. Holy crap. Michael helps expertise entrepreneurs build sustainable businesses that leverage their knowledge, skills, and experience to serve their tribes. He is the author of Public Speaker Secrets, 52 proven ways to increase your impact every time you speak, host of Get Your Message Heard podcast, and a frequent guest on business and communication-related podcasts. In the show notes are all of his Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of his social media, the website michaelhudson.com. Connect with this dude. He is an absolute rock star and is crushing it in everything he does. So, dude, after reading all that, I always ask the question. Right? I always read the bios, man. Like, I just do. Like, whatever. I think it gives context to what we're going to talk about. You know what I mean? Because somebody could be driving. Yeah. You know what I mean? They catch it on their podcatchers, whatever it be, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever. You know what I mean? So they're like, wow, that dude's like a rock star. You know, if I was driving down the road and I hear all of this, you know what I mean? I'm like, holy crap. So some podcasts, you know, they're like, hey, welcome to the show. And they're like, so let's get into it and talk about and just have a conversation. But there's no like, why should I listen to this guy? Like, I read the bios because I want people to listen to you. Because what you do is on a level that I'm not even near, right? I haven't given 8,000 paid presentations. I've maybe given 40.
Well, you know, somebody accused me of creative accounting in that, Sean, but
yeah, right. Like 8,000. You know, over 34 years. I mean, if you did, I mean, it's possible. You know, 34 years. I mean,
it's a long time. Dude,
Yeah, man.
But you have to do a lot in single days, right? There have to be days when you do multiples.
Yeah, I know people who deliver or are booked at over 100 events a year. That's what, I mean, this is their job. This is what they do. They're either emceeing or traveling somewhere to go speak somewhere or whatever, or they're doing like an online summit, right? So it's still kind of like speaking somewhere, but it's like an online summit, so they're home. But yeah, I want to be you. So we need to figure this out. I knew you had a book, but I didn't know it was a public speaking book, which is even more awesome. So now I got to go buy your book. So
awesome. I'd happily send you a copy, but I'll take the purchase too.
No, really.
You know, Sean, so I think we teach that which is we're most passionate about, right? So that's what I'm most passionate
about.
That's what you write about.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So what I ask the guest after reading all that and talking with them is, what is your why? Everybody has a certain reason why they do what they do. So what is your deep why? Why does Michael do what Michael does?
And Sean, you know that I have a 3-question framework I use when I work with people to help them get at their why, because we agree on that. You know, and the 3 questions are, number 1, what pisses you off? Number 2, what breaks your heart? And number 3, what problem are you here to solve? Well, you know, what pissed me off as a kid growing up was being afraid to step to the front of the room. I mean, countless times, Sean, you know, it was show and tell day. And I convinced my mother I was too sick to go to school because I couldn't bear to step to the front of the room. Now, at the same time, within me, there was this thing that I had to do it. I wanted to do it desperately, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Well, you know, the piss me off thing for me is that I've seen too many people that are still stuck there. And I had the privilege of getting past that, and we'll talk about that later in the show here. But I see people in corporate organizations, entrepreneurs, experts, speakers, coaches, consultants, content creators who listen to the voices in their head too much and convince themselves they're not good enough or their ideas aren't as valuable. Or they watch someone who's more persuasive and they think, well, I can't speak that well, so I probably should keep my voice quiet. And that just, to me, that is an injustice to them. And even more so, it's an injustice to everybody else in the world that we're not hearing their message. So that's my answer to what pisses me off question. Now, the breaks my heart question is watching these people struggle, and in the expert space, they're constantly stuck on what I call the random revenue roller coaster, which means they sold 10 speaking engagements, and they're out on the road giving those 10 speaking engagements and delivering and serving, and then they come back home, and it's like, oh, my gosh, nobody did the marketing while I was gone. My calendar is now empty. What am I going to do?
Yep.
And not only that, how are the bills going to get paid next month and the month after and the month after? So it breaks my heart to see that. And the same thing happens in organizations where you see someone who is talented. I spent almost 20 years while I've been facilitating strategic planning processes for my entire career, 34 years. And what always happens is there's someone, maybe two people in a room who don't speak up when you're having a brainstorming session or when you're talking about what ought to be done. But then the break comes, and you remember when your kid was young and they stood and tugged at your sleeve and tried to get your attention? They kind of come to me like that at the break and say, well, why aren't we talking about this? Or what about this? And what about this?
Right.
And when I look at them and say, well, why didn't you put that into the conversation? The number of times, I can't even count, Sean, that people have looked back at me and said, well, I'm just not comfortable speaking up in public forums.
Did they tell you why?
Well, that's where we're going. Excellent question.
Perfect.
Because that's exactly where it goes. Because I ask, I said, well, tell me more about that. Now, I don't always say that right at that moment, because sometimes we got to get back into it. But I will find a time when someone tells me that, say, tell me about that. You know, and by the way, one of these random tips, if you want people to tell you something, all you got to do is ask them the question. And when they start talking and they pause, say more about that. And they will. And what I found, Sean, is there's five different voices that they hear. You know, and we don't need to go into what they are, but they're caused by things in their past in most cases, and not often the recent past. Many times it is much, 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 much earlier in their journey. So that's the stuff that breaks my heart, because I see them trap pain in their eyes when they're wondering why we're not doing what they think makes sense, but they can't be the one to put it into the conversation, and they feel frustrated. So I look at the problem that I'm here to solve is to help people get past that, to push those blocks out of the way, to recognize that those voices are head trash, and you just have to take the head trash out on a regular basis, because all of us have it.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you're right.
So that's why I do it. I do it because I don't want – and Sean, this is very personal for me. You know, I know that pain. I know what it felt like to sit there and watch the other kids who were comfortable walk to the front of the room and do their presentations and speak and all that, and me sitting there wanting to do it. And I wanted to do it so badly, Sean. When I got involved with 4-H and I found they had a public speaking contest, I said, okay, I'm going to do this and learn this. 5 consecutive years, I signed up for the contest. 5 consecutive years. I wrote the little speech out using the formula given to us in the project manual. 5 consecutive years, I stood and rehearsed the presentation in my bedroom. And 5 consecutive years, I found a reason not to go to the contest because I was still too scared.
Oh, man.
That's why I do what I do, because I don't want someone sitting in a room wanting to do it and not being able to.
Wow.
It gets better, man. We keep going. It gets better.
I know, right? Just begun. Marty speechless. The reason I asked why they felt that way was because I teach team dynamics.
Right.
And there's a dynamic that's created during the team formations. Right?
Yes.
So I talk about team dynamics, team performance, you know, forming the teams, whatever. And there's a 4-step process called, and it's really funny how they've worded this, but it's called forming, storming, norming, and performing. It's a 4-step
process.
Use it all
the time. Love it.
Yep. And so every time I hear, well, they weren't comfortable in a group setting, like speaking up, whatever, it's probably because at some point in their life, they were in a group setting offering their knowledge, their expertise, their opinion, whatever, and they were completely shut down. And I've seen it over and over again. There's one person that's dominant. There's one person that's following. There's one person that just shuts up because they offered and got shut down. So they're like, screw you. And there's one person that's really soaking it up, taking it all in, and then kind of running it through their head, right, through the litmus test. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't sound, no. And they're kind of like judge and jury, like on the side. And then you have everybody else who's kind of just yelling things out, you know. But there's, I mean, these are the things that I see constantly. There's always this one person doing this, there's one person doing this, right? So I always ask them, like, were you ever shut down in a group? Were you ever, oh, yeah, all the time. I'm like, yeah, that'll do it. And that'll kill confidence and self-esteem quickly.
Well, yeah, and you know, what's interesting, I think, Sean, and part of my work, and we'll talk about this, you know, is mapping the journey of your life and what are those lessons and what were those critical moments that led you to even listen to that voice, that gave that voice, you know, the breath that it needs to keep coming back again and again and again. But I have a colleague, and the name's not relevant, but he has given me permission to share this content. There are things that can be said to this person. And this person is, you know, they've been around the planet for a while. They're in my same era. And all of a sudden, this 15-year-old kid comes out within him. And the angst, the anxiety, the vitriol that begins to flow from him when he is reminded of a situation. And in his case, it's not so much about speaking as it is about feeling like he doesn't have value or that he doesn't know anything. because, you know, we all like to be recognized for what we know and what we do and what we're capable of. And you can suddenly see this kind-hearted, wonderful human being shift into a totally different person if he's reminded of the feelings at that time. And I share that because we all have that. I knew enough about your past, I can say something that would trigger you and take you back, just as you could do the same to me. So one of the things I think people like us have to do consciously is search for and try to understand, without overstepping and overreaching and making people uncomfortable, what is it that's in their way? Because if it stays in their way, they're going to struggle. And they're going to end up frustrated.
Oh, yeah. No, I fully agree with that. Tell me a transformational moment that changed your life, that put you on the path to what you're doing now.
And, Sean, I'm going to ask you to indulge me in a slightly long story here.
I would expect nothing less.
Well, because these things aren't easy, right? You know, one of the things I work with my clients on and my coaching clients is, you know, let's map the journey of your life, you know, and let's break it into 10-year increments. And what were the significant positive events and significant negative events from an emotional standpoint for you in each of those decades? Well, and I'm going to drop some knowledge, you know, something here that is kind of hard to hear for some people. And I understand that. I need them to know I'm okay. And, you know, I'm not going to try to get you to do some tough exercise. But this is important to the context. So while I'm afraid to speak, I'm also the precocious kid who speaks up all the time when they're not supposed to, you know, the one that they would have medicated at certain points in life in school. But we didn't know about that when I was in elementary school. So I'm getting report cards all the time saying, great student, does wonderful work. Be nice if you talk less. And what I saw was shut up in front of me all the time. They never said it. That's what I heard. Now, at that same time, I was raped and molested for a year by someone who threatened to kill me if I ever told anyone.
Whoa.
Now, if you're in that scenario and you're already afraid to speak up and you have this threat that's given to you in a commanding way in a situation where you're being violated, it sticks. And for years, I just struggled with really... I didn't stop talking in small settings, but I couldn't step to the front of the room, and it was always because of feeling devalued from that. But something wonderful happened at the start of the next decade of my life. I saw a speaker one day, first professional speaker I ever saw, Sean. I was 10 or 11 years old. His name was John Jimenez. And John Jimenez was a recovered heroin addict who went around and spoke to schools in the mid-Atlantic region in the 60s. About his journey into drug addiction, his coming out of it and recovering and then slipping back and then finally breaking the cycle and getting his life where he wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, for the first time in my life, when I heard him speak, I paid attention. And I sat, and I really remember this. I know I was 11 years old, but I remember looking at this guy going, I want to do what he does. Now, that's part one of the story. You want to pause for a little breath and commentary?
I love the show because what I think, feel, and believe just happens all the time. You know what I mean? Like, like you look at somebody who is as successful as you are, who is as genuine as you are, and you say, this guy has got it all figured out. This guy is super successful. He's super genuine and authentic, and he has an appreciation for life. What you don't see is what you just revealed right now. We don't carry that stuff. You don't see that stuff, you know, on the outside. All you see is I have this much money, I have this car, this house, this life, right? But you don't see what's behind the curtain.
And I think we tend to naively believe that some people don't have it. And you know what? We all do.
Right.
We all have something. You know, I had that. You know, the 5 years of trying to be in the public speaking contest came after that. You know, and Sean, I wanted to be there. I needed to be there. I knew I belonged there, but I couldn't get there. So you asked for a transformational moment. I had to tell you that story to tell you this story, which is the transformational moment that changed what I do. I went to graduate school when I ran away from home to be a college professor. Of course, that involved graduate school. And I accepted a teaching assistantship because that paid the bills. So the day came when I had to walk into a class to teach 250 freshmen about supply and demand curves, economics. I left my office. I had my overheads. For those of you listening who don't know what that means, years ago we didn't have projection units. We had these overhead projectors and these clear pieces of stuff we wrote on. But I had them all mapped and ready to go.
School.
Yes. For you, that was a long time ago. For me, it was a little
And the bulb will burn out.
Yes, the bulb burn out, then you're dead for the whole day. Then
right?
You go back to chalk. I leave my office, and I'm carrying those, and I'm walking, and I'm ready, man. I've prepared this lesson. I know what I'm going to do. And it hasn't dawned on me at that moment that I'm still scared to death to speak in public. But as I walk past the first building, my stomach begins to let me know, you're scared. So I run in the first building, I throw up. Not to be gross, but that's what happened. So I come out, I go walk a little further, oops, go run in the next building, do it again. Now I get to the building where I'm going to teach the class. I walk into a men's room, and I now have lost every bit of lunch or any food that's in my body. And I walk out, and I stand there, and I look across the hall, Sean. And the double doors to that auditorium looked like they were at least 100 yards away.
Wow.
And I stood there going, how are you going to do this? And as odd as this will sound, it is the absolute 100% truth. I saw John Jimenez in my mind. And I saw him standing there telling us and taking us through the pain of writhing on the bed and throwing up when he was recovering from his heroin addiction, about the pain of when he slipped back into his habit and found himself standing on a street corner one day watching a house waiting for the family to leave so he could go steal their stuff to fund his next fix. And I started to walk towards the room feeling, okay, it's about story. Somehow this is about story. And all of a sudden, this refrain began to play in my head as though somebody just dropped a needle on a turntable. Tell them a story, teach them a lesson. Tell them a story, teach them a lesson. So as I walked through the aisleway in the room to go to the stage, and by the way, this was in the pre-cell phone days, so these kids had nothing to do except watch, and who's this dude? Because he's not the normal teacher. And as I got to the stage, I'm still thinking, what's the story? How are you going to tell anybody a story that makes them want to learn economics? And I remembered when I was in graduate school, my third semester of my master's program, I reversed the supply and demand curves on an exam and almost flunked out of the program. I said, I'll tell them that story. So I put the first overhead up. I introduced myself and I said, today we're going to talk about supply and demand curves. And I'm going to tell you a story about why it matters that you pay attention today. And I told him that story about almost flunking out blind. And I said, so what I'm going to do today is teach you in a way that you'll never forget which one goes which direction. And then I did it. Now, Sean, it wasn't perfect, and I don't want this story to make it like, oh, it's the magical moment in the movie. No, it wasn't. It was still pretty ugly. But when I walked off the stage, I went, I got it. I know how to do this now. It's not as hard as I thought it was, and the fact is I just helped those people. And that was kind of the magic pivot for me when I realized speaking is not about you. It's about the audience. They're not there to judge me. They're there to learn from me in a classroom setting. And if they come to a conference or convention, they sit in the room to hear you speak, and they chose that session where you're speaking, they want to be served. And when you think about how you serve them and you realize, and I realized the power story had on me because, I survived, after what happened to me by reading books and getting buried in story for years. But that unlocked a whole new world. And so that's the pivot moment for me that I broke through and became able to realize what I cared about most, which was effective communication, could in fact be what I did moving forward.
I love that. And I think that's so true that one of the fear of public speaking that I hear a lot of is that you're going to be judged. And it's just not the case unless you're at Toastmasters or something or TEDx or something. But You're not like,
well, even TEDx. They don't
want
to judge you there
succeed.
Either. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, after the process that you've gone through and everything, I mean, yeah, they've refined your story. I mean, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, but the process before that.
The prelude's a little painful. The,
yeah. A little ego bruising, if you will. I mean, I'm not saying I'm, you know, the best speaker in the world, but
right.
I'm pretty damn good.
Right.
And then for them to go, well, that story doesn't land really. I'm like, I get a laugh every time. This is like one of my best bits. This is my lead. This is my ace. They're like, well, it's not really good. I'm like, but I use it every time and it gets a great reaction. They're like, not here at TEDx. Like, and so I had to learn that there's one talk for this and there's another talk for this. And you have to know the difference of what will work and what doesn't. And I was like, that was a little learning moment, a little humbling,
yeah,
if you will. But yeah, they're definitely not there to judge you and rip you apart, and they want what you have to offer, you know, and they're rooting for you to
yeah,
you know, make good use of their time. So yeah,
and if
you're really
and if you ever, and if you ever forget that, Sean, if you ever forget that, what should you do? Remind yourself of what it's like to be in an audience. You don't sit in an audience and say, gosh, I can't wait for this guy to fall on his face or get stuck and not know what to say next. That's not what you want.
Right? Ooh, I can't wait for this speaker to fail. This is going to be amazing. No one says that.
It's not like watching your X Games where you're waiting for the wipeout.
Yeah, no, it's totally not like football where you're waiting for this guy to get destroyed and demolished. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Tackled. No. Yeah, totally not like that. Feels that way when you're on stage, though.
Yeah, it can it?
Yeah. You know, I've been speaking since 2009. Was a drill instructor for 4 years. Been speaking professionally for the last about three years or so. And every time I get on stage, I'm a little nervous every time. And then you start doing your thing, and then you start feeling more comfortable, and then, you know, but I think everybody has a sense of nervousness, you know? I mean, unless you're somebody like Tony Robbins or Les Brown or somebody who's been doing it for 40 years, but, you know, I mean, there's a level of anxiety, there's a level of nervousness, there's a level of excitement, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I always tell people that I'm talking with that, yes, you're going to be nervous. You're going to be, you know, all these things, but you give meaning to those feelings. So are you nervous and scared, or are you excited and happy? Right. So,
yes.
So you have to put a name to those feelings. And I just tell people, like, have an excited feeling and let people know, like, not that you're nervous, but that you're excited and you have goosebumps and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is intense. Like kind of scary, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
you know, frame it in a way that people are going to resonate with you. So,
well,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big believer that if you don't feel some sense of nerves, you're going to struggle really connecting because your energy will be flat.
Right.
And you know, it's as someone, I forget who it is, said this the first time, and I've heard it lots of times in different ways, but you know, the goal is to get the butterflies to fly in formation, not to make the butterflies disappear.
Yeah.
If you can,
I love that.
If you get them to fly in formation, they're going to take you where you need to go. You know, it's when you don't get them under control. And you, we have to build routines for that. I mean, a lot of what's in my Public Speaker Secrets book are things about how you, you know, one of my tips is about managing your nerves before you go on stage, you know, and how you set the room up to make sure you're set for success, all those kind of things. It's a matter of how you engage yourself. And if you walk on that stage thinking they're going to judge me, it's all about me, or you get too bogged down in trying to worry about where's your hand at this moment or that moment. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big believer in staging the presentation. The where you are and how you move your body matters because physicality
yeah.
has a lot to do with the way the audience connects with you. If you're worried, oh gosh, I held that hand up too long. The only person who thinks about that and knows that is you. And that's the other thing I think you have to remember to get past it. You're the only one
yeah.
knows what you thought you were supposed to say there. You know, nobody's
yes.
sitting there going, oh he's
God,
off script
yes.
now because they don't have the script. So
yes, I learned that as a drill instructor. Like that, you know, you have 50 people for like 8 weeks that you have to teach and train to get ready for. Like, this is not like, oh, I messed up a speech. Oh, well, no, like this is like you can't mess up. You know what I mean?
You get the true life and death at the back end of that.
Oh, you do. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, because if you screw up, like, something, it could be – and some things are fixable. You know, I say probably most things are, you know, probably fixable. But you are preparing. You are the first thing they see coming into the military. You are preparing them for military duty. It's a big deal. And – what I learned is that even if I mess something up, right? Like even if I tell them wrong drill movements, or I tell them something wrong in integrated base defense or whatever, you know, I should be able to fix it. There are other people around me that keep me accountable and they're like, no, that's not quite true. Listen to this way. This is the way you're supposed to do it, you know, whatever. But nobody knows the trainee, you know, audience, attendees, the listener, nobody knows what you're supposed to say or what you're supposed to teach them. Nothing. They know nothing. So anything that you say, they're gonna use it as, I mean, it's worth its weight in gold. And so if you mess up, you just press on with pride, you know, because you are the subject matter expert. You are the one they are looking to for authority, credibility, to learn something from. And so if you're, and the one thing that I always tell everybody, like, don't freaking apologize. That pisses me off, man. Don't apologize on stage. Don't go, oh, I'm sorry, my slides aren't right.
That's your fault.
You're done. Yeah. Your credibility has now been shot. And if you, the more you apologize, the more they just check out and go, this guy's a clown. I'm not listening to this guy. Right? So I always give the advice of do not apologize. Everything that happens is supposed to happen. I was in South Carolina just a couple weeks ago. And I was doing my presentation. I didn't use any slides. I was like, I'll be all right. I don't use any slides. And I had gotten stuck, and I was like, I know I need to say this one thing because this one thing is going to lead me in. Like, it's a transition into my next point. Right. And I totally bypassed it and went into my second part, and then I kind of got stuck, and I was like, hold on a second. I just paused, and then somebody sneezed super loud. And I just stopped, and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I know that feeling. Who knows that feeling? And I just went off script for a second. I was like, who knows that feeling? That must have felt great. Thank you for that. You know, like, and everybody goes laughing, whatever. And I was like, and I thought to myself, I was like, where the fucking hell was I? Like, in my head, I was like, I'm fucking lost. And then I was just laughing or whatever. And I was like, and I told him, I was like, so, geez, I kind of just lost where I was at. This is an amazing moment. I get paid to be lost right now. And I was just making a joke, right? And I was just like, tell me out, guys. What the hell was I talking about? You know? And they're like, yeah, you were talking about this. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad you were paying attention. So I did this thing where I was like, yeah, I'm glad you were paying attention. Let's show him some love. I want you to clap once, snap once, and point at him and say, you rock, because you're going to get me back on track. Ready? One, two, three, clap, snap, you rock. I'm like, yeah. And then I went right back into my presentation, didn't miss a beat, and kept on going.
Yeah.
But if I was brand new,
Or you start looking at notes trying to find it.
Right? You're shuffling papers. You're like, ah, shit. You know what I mean? But as experience comes, these are the things that you know to do. Shoot, yes. I'm lost. Let me ask a question. And then we can look at some notes or whatever while everybody's thinking about the question. Or, hey, I want you right now, everybody's up what they're doing, I want you to right now to write down the top five things that you love the most. Just write them down. Okay? And while everybody's writing and their faces are in a paper, I'm running to the podium or running to the laptop to, like, check my next slide or check my notes. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
these
absolutely.
Are things that just come with experience.
Well, and Sean, by telling all that, you're revealing the main thing, right? If you really do want to speak and you want – and this isn't – you know, one of the things about speaking is, first of all speaking is public speaking except for those voices in your head. You know, if you and I are meeting at a cocktail reception and we're shaking hands and I'm speaking to you, I am public speaking because we're in public and other people are around. You know, and I think recognizing that, and one of the things I love, you know, Michael Port's book, Steal the Show, which I highly recommend everybody should read.
Oh, my God, I love that. Oh, my God.
But, you know, he talks about the high-stakes moments in life, you know, and how you perform in those moments. And all of those moments, the quality of your performance is directly related to the quality of your preparation. And, you know, your ability to handle that when you're on stage and you go, oh, I left something out, derives directly from the fact that you've prepared and you know what you were even going to say, versus the all too typical approach today, which is I vomit on a bunch of slides and then I pop the slides up and I'll read them to you off the screen. It's just not that impactful because there's no energy there. There's no effort there. And even if you're funny and, you know, so forth, if you just bring in a slide deck, just send them the slide deck and stay home. You know, I think we have a job when we step into that role. And I know that's a frightening job, but it's frightening to most people because they don't put the time in to be ready to do it. I mean, I'm sure you do like I do. I stand up and rehearse out loud on my feet all the time. I mean, I put in hours to make sure this is the way I want this to be. And because what I'm trying to do is get it into my bones, make it so that when I do lose my place, I can figure it out. But I also realize there's going to be a time when something happens. You know, you could have been in a totally different situation. You could have been in the same situation you described, Sean, and it could have been that sneeze got you off track and you jumped to the next point without finishing the previous one. And then maybe 2 points after that, you needed them to know that thing you missed. And you say, you know what? I forgot to tell you this, and you need this to be able to understand this. That's okay. It also makes you more approachable, more human, and more connectable to the audience because you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable enough to say, look, I made a mistake. I forgot to tell you this. But if I don't tell you this, what I'm about to tell you won't make any sense. So we're going to go here for a few minutes. You know, nobody cares. I don't mean nobody cares. They care that they get what you came there to give them.
Right.
Far more than they care about the specific moments that are in between that create that. Because you're taking every audience on a journey, right? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Funny story. Well, not really funny, but that's kind of funny. So I read the book last year. I think it was like last year, something like that. Last year. I read the book Steal the Show by Michael Port, and there was actually it's 2016, end of 2016. And so I read the book by Michael Port, Steal the Show, and my buddy is an actor, and I was doing some stuff with, what's that? I can't remember what it's called now. It's, actors, model talent, whatever for Christ.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it was an agency for like they do Christian movies and actors, models, and talents for Christ, something like that. And so a lot of the guys, you know, they run them through like this is how you do this, this is how you do this, you know, and then they like put you in front of like all these producers and try to make like these, you know, Christian movies and stuff like that, you know. And great organization, but my buddy was like, dude, there's like a local theater. Like, you should try out for this because they're doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I was like, I love that movie. That's a great movie. My grandparents, like, watched that movie. It's a great movie. And I was like, I'd never been in a play before. Like, not ever. Like, I wasn't tree number two in high school. I just never was in a play. So I read the book, trying to become a better speaker. And, he's like, dude, you got to, man. You'd be perfect for Brick, man. He's a drinker. He's an athlete. You know, like this is you. And I was like, whatever. And so at the time, I was on this say yes to everything kick. Like, and I kind of still do. But I was like, say yes to everything. Like, say yes and figure it out. So I was like, all right. Say yes to opportunities. So here we go. So we go to this theater for tryouts. And I grabbed scripts for everybody, like Gooper, and like I was like, I'll play the preacher, whatever. I'll try out for everything. So I tried out, everything was done, and the next day I got a call, and the director was like, I love you. You need to come be my Brick. And I was like, what? He's like, how many years have you been acting? I'm like, I've never acted before ever, never been in a play. He's like, you're kidding. I was like, no, I'm a public speaker. You know, I read Michael Port's book, Steal the Show. He's like, I love Michael Port. I was like, yeah, I read his book. And then I came and auditioned. He's like, shut up. I was like, no, I'm serious. Shut up. I was like, I'm dead serious. I'm a public speaker. This is what I love to do. He's like, you have amazing stage presence. And it was like, this is like, you've been acting forever. I'm like, nope, I just read a book. And he's like, this is ridiculous. He's just laughing. He's like, this is ridiculous. So I got the role, and yeah, everybody was like, how many years have you been acting? This is great. I was like, nope, read a book. And all the cast is like, this is stupid. Like, I've been acting forever. This is stupid. And I was like, just go read the book. It's an amazing book. But it was just nobody believed me that I was like, I've never acted before.
So my question is it possible that in reality you've actually acted more than most because of those days as a drill instructor in front of those 50 men and women you were trying to equip?
That's true. Forgot about that.
But see, I say that not to be a jerk, but
no, it's funny.
I think one of the things we forget about, you know, it's like when you teach people the idea that you need to script out your content or write your speech. And by the way, I've got to be honest here. I wrote my first speech this year. I've just never been
I've never written any speeches.
And I learned to do that by going through the Heroic Public Speaking graduate school program I went through. And it tested me and it challenged me. But it revealed to me the power of doing that. And when you learn, the point being back to the preparation point, right? We forget. Well, here's the point. Sorry, I just did what you did, Sean. I lost myself for a minute. Nobody sneezed, so I need somebody.
Yeah, no.
but what I discovered is that I've been writing content forever. I just haven't been putting it on paper. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you get your message clear and you start delivering it, you're refining it and enhancing it every time you deliver it. But in truth, if you've done it for a while, and obviously I've done it for a while, there are these bits or stories that you use that someone can say, tell us about that, and boom, you go into this bit. And it may be 3 minutes, it may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes. And you may never have scripted it out, but if you've delivered it 50 times, you've scripted it out. Does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely.
And you're tweaking the script a lot. But, you know, I realized that one day when I was standing thinking, I always, you know, work with the crowd and I interact with the audience and I'm much more building off of their energy and so forth. But in reality, I realized I would walk off the stage having told the same 7 or 8 stories because those are the ones I knew worked. And those are the ones I had scripted by using them over and over. Now, I have learned the value, actually, of putting them in writing because it adds an ability to add more punch to it. And some of that's in the Steal the Show book is how you know, map the content so you know which words to emphasize and when to emphasize them and where to emphasize them. So,
yeah. What I think is great about that is it's not said enough. Like, there's so much truth in everything you said that people need to hear this. Because I've been through a lot of speaker courses and, you know, like the online ones, right? I've got a lot of speaker mentors that I've met over the years, but that is very, very true to the point where it applies to most, if not all, situations. You know what I mean? I don't actually.
That's
like
why you. It's why you're rehearsing in your car on the way to the meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah. No, absolutely. In the shower, I don't sing in the shower. I do my speech in the shower. And this, you know what I've noticed though is that when you do your speeches, you do your content, whatever, more ideas come. Like, you're just thinking about things, right? You're saying something, you're like, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. And you forget what the hell you said. So maybe that's why Gary Vee has everybody follow him around.
You get one of those whiteboards for your shower, right? Sean. And you can write in the walls.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. But yeah, you know, I don't actually write any speech ever. I do the mind map. So I start with my message. I start with my big idea, and then I have my introduction, my main point 1, 2, and 3. I have my conclusion. I have my transitions that I map out what I'm going to say. So, I mean, really, I'm not writing word for word for word because I'm not going to memorize it anyways. And I always tell people, don't ever memorize your speech, because if you don't remember something, then you're stuck. So just have trigger words, right? Just have trigger words throughout your presentation that are going to keep you on the right track. At this time, and this is where rehearsal comes in, at this time, I'm at the journaling part. At this time, I'm at the video. At this time, I'm talking about the picture of the house, you know, whatever. So you know, and really, and this is 1,000% true, and you'll agree with me. When I was on stage as the actor, as Brick in the play, I learned what's called blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not gone through this, my presentations would still be a little flat. I mean, they were a little dynamic, but I was pacing. I was all over the place, right? I mean, I was just one side of the room to the other, to the back, to the mm-hmm. front. Like, I was mm-hmm. just an energized bunny. What I learned was blocking, to where I walk to a certain port and I plant myself and I deliver that one emphatic statement, that
yes.
one punch, and then I can walk to the next part of the room, and then I can walk back, and then I go to the next. Boom, plant, deliver, pause, and then keep going. You see what I'm saying? So it's
yeah,
better
absolutely.
Than just the diarrhea mouth, if you will, right? You're just talking, and there's no way to digest everything you just said. But blocking is huge.
Yeah, I think people underestimate the power, and it goes back to the physicality point I made earlier, right? They underestimate the power of moving with intention as opposed to moving randomly. When you move randomly, it's very easy for me to think you don't know what you're going to say next and you're trying to figure it out and you're just wandering until it comes to you. When you block and you move with intention that you go to this point to make this, and it, you know, it's interesting that one of the things in the 52 Speaker Secrets book is the diamond method, which is how I originally used to memorize my speeches. And when I say memorize, I was never big on memorization either. And by the way, I'm with you 100%. Memorization is a waste of time. Rehearsal is the best possible use of your time. You know, and if you script it and you map it and you rehearse and you probably did some of this with that play you were in. They probably had a script for the play, and there were times when you rehearsed it holding the script and reading the script. And then over time, you stopped having to hold the script. I mean, that's what we should do with our speech.
Right.
And you made a comment earlier, Sean, I want to loop back to about something very important, because I do think we live in an era where people think that giving a speech means showing slides. It doesn't. You do
right.
not have to have slides. And in fact, I would argue many people use slides because it is their safety net and their security blanket, so they won't worry about getting lost and forgetting to say something. Number one, if you've got so much stuff in a speech that you're worried about forgetting stuff, you have too much in there. Because if you can't remember it, there's no way the audience is going to remember it when they walk out. We overcomplicate our messages and we throw way too much stuff up against the wall, hoping something will stick and thinking, well, I've got to give something so every audience member gets something. That's not why you're there. You're not invited to go in that stage, up on that stage, to share a message that is, here's all the data I know about subject X. You're invited to step up there to say, based on what my journey has revealed to me, these are the three things you need to know about subject X. And here's the thing you need to go do first to change the way your life is currently being lived with regard to subject X. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And we've got to stop just thinking, okay, the slide is the thing. Make yourself so compelling that even if you had beautiful slides, nobody'd look at them.
Right.
If you do that,
you're the show.
You're the show. The slides aren't the show. They're just not. And stop. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm feeling very directive and intense right now. And I don't mean to offend anyone. But stop thinking
it.
That's the way to do it. See, I argue most people create presentations backwards, because they start by opening up their favorite presentation software program on their computer, and they start dumping their content into that. That's not the way to create the presentation. The way to create the presentation is to ask yourself first, and I call this designing the outcome, Sean. Design the outcome. What is the outcome you want these people to get from you having been there and spoken to them? And figure out what that looks like. Now, if you're being hired to do that, have the conversation with the meeting planner. One of the things I always do is ask to speak to half a dozen audience members at a minimum so I can learn what they want.
Now, one of our tricks as speakers, right, is we've got to give them what they want, and sometimes we put what they need in the middle of it because they're not going to tell you what they need. They're going to tell you what they want, and we know what they need sometimes better than they do. But once you design the outcome, then you can develop the path, the journey I'm going to take them on with me. Which of my stories am I going to share? Am I going to talk today about the fact I was a drill instructor, or is today the day I'm going to talk about the fact that I've given 40 speeches in the last 3 years? And once you've mapped the path, then the question becomes, how do you open and close it? In other words, deliver the message. How do you deliver the message in a way that calls them to take action to achieve whatever transformation you've just painted them as being possible for them? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So design it, develop it, and deliver it. The slides don't need to get done until you have designed it and developed it and you're now getting ready to deliver it. That's when you design the slides, because the slides have one purpose,
right?
To reinforce the message in a way that drives them to take the action you want them to take.
To enhance.
And until you've designed and developed that, you can't do that.
Right.
Sorry, Sean, I stepped on
that. No, it's fine. No, I said to enhance your presentation,
yes.
Right? Like, I literally, the best presentation I ever gave, because I don't even think my TEDx was the best, you know? And I only had, like, I had a picture of the white polar bear because that was my TEDx talk, was the polar bear, you know?
Right.
It was the white bear phenomena where you look at a polar bear and there's all kind of psychological research and everything. I had that. I had a London cab driver person or whatever, because the research study was called the London cab driver. I had that. I had a picture of Marge and Homer Simpson's brains, which is a cartoon and super funny, what's in each other's brains, you know. But I literally had like four slides, right? And another talk that I had, which I got a standing ovation for, was a video, but it had a title slide, which was me with all of my, you know, as seen on this, whatever. Then it was a video. Then it was a graphic of my business overview and my 10 rules of engagement, you know, to engage in success. You have to have these 10 rules applied. And then I think I had like one other one. But literally, like, I had four.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And it was like, boom, standing ovation. You know, like.
Well, and the other piece,
the show.
I don't know what you did or how you did that, and you know, but listen to what Sean just said there and also understand something. The remote controls for the slide things have a button on them that blacks out the screen. The slide doesn't have to stay up the entire time you're talking about that particular topic. Sometimes the slide is most powerful punctuating the point at the end. Sometimes the slide is most powerful awakening the audience to what you're about to reveal before you reveal it and then hiding it while you go ahead and reveal it. Sometimes it's more powerful dropped in the middle to say it looked kind of like this, boom, and there it is, and then you take it back down because, you know, people are always looking for a distraction, right? We're always looking for something to occupy our mind, and a lot of us are very visual in the way we process. So if you give them something visually to process, they're going to look at it. And, you know, if it's up there for 15 minutes and it's one slide, it may not need to be there. It's not saying it's not a great slide. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So before we start to close the show, talk about what you do now and what you enjoy most about it.
Well, Sean, I'll go with what I love most about it as the opening, right? What I love most about it is, you know, the great conversations I have and the ability that I have and the opportunity that I have to help people unlock that message that's in their journey. You know, you've alluded a couple times here to how things appear at the right moment. I am a huge believer in that. The right people appear, the answers appear. It's the old quote, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And if you're paying attention, you'll recognize that they're there. You know, it could be a book, it could be a person, it could be a scenario. But what I also believe is that every one of us travels a unique journey. We have this unique set of information and lessons that we've gathered from what has happened in our life. I call it the river of our life, right? And that river has had rocky periods, you know, where it's had rapids, it's had flat periods. And if we stop where we are today and look back at that river, there are lessons that have been revealed to us. We are the only person who has gotten those lessons in the exact combination we have gotten them. I believe it is our responsibility to therefore reveal those lessons to the people who need to hear them. And those people will show up when you start sharing that message. It just happens. I know that sounds weird. It sounds woo-woo, but it happens when you get clear on what that is. It also, from a business standpoint, it's your differentiator. It differentiates you because you're the only one who has that journey. You're the only one who traveled that path in that process and went through all those steps and experienced those things. So what I love most about my work today is helping people do that and unlock what is it that their journey has taught them. What is that message that they need to deliver? The one that's connected to their why, their whole reason for being. And I enjoy that, and I do that. You know, a couple ways I do that, I start people on the path. You know, one is if you go to michaelhudson.com/makeover, you can sign up for a 15-minute message makeover call. You know, and that's a great thing for someone to do, Sean, if they are pondering what their message is or if they are a business person and they haven't figured out how to communicate with their clients effectively and get the right people to raise their hands and the wrong ones turn away. And the second thing that I do is a deeper dive, which is you can get that at michaelhudson.com/explore. And I call that the exploration conversation, where we explore your journey and begin to get you started in this process of mapping out what is it you've learned? What are those lessons? What is it you have to teach? And by the way, we've done a lot of this, Sean, in the context of speaking, right, and speakers, and probably some people listening go, well, I'm not going to be a speaker. Well, you are going to be a speaker in whatever role you're playing in life. If you're an entrepreneur, you speak about your business all the time to your customers. You speak about it all the time to your employees. You know, if you're a solo practitioner in any kind of creative endeavor, you know, you're speaking about things all the time. So all of what we're talking about applies to everybody because we all speak about what we do. And what I love is helping people unlock that message, showing them how they can do it so they can create more results and more impact.
I love it. We can't get any better than that. Like, I struggled with a little bit. Like, forever I was like, oh, I'm a resilience guy. That's what I'm known as. I'm the resilience guy. I teach mindfulness. I teach all these other things. You know, I empower people to withstand, recover, and grow through adversity, stress, and life-changing demands. That's what I do. 4 years ago, when I first started the resilience journey, yes. Today, I help people with book launches. I wrote a book about getting booked to speak that, you know, people buy all the time. I mentor people on speaking, podcasting. Like, it always changes, you know. And I sure, I'm like, well, why? Like, what do I do now? I don't know what I do. Like, I do so much. And my mentor, John Bowman, who also went through the heroic public speaking, was telling me that he's like, I have a bunch of different what's, you know, it just depends on who I'm talking to and who my audience is. I'm like, but isn't there like one thing that you do? And I love how the way that you framed it. Isn't there one thing that I do? And there's really not. So I just had to. So what I came up with anyways, because I was like, oh, I offer life transformation skills. People were like, what the hell is that? Oh, I mean, it's just these skills that, you know, transform your life. Well, yeah, I don't get it. What transform my life? How? Well, just by the skills I give you. I just kept going, oh, I'm like, this is stupid. All right, never mind. So I figured this out finally. And it's I provide a framework to success that is easily implemented that will reduce the anxiety, stress, and depression that you often feel when building businesses or having relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great. But you framed it so much better. You're like, and they get results. I'm like, crap.
Well, but, you know, the thing that's there that is so necessary in that is getting comfortable with looking deeply enough at your life to figure out what is the thread. You know, Tamsin Webster talks about the red thread. You know, what is that thread that runs through your life? And you know, I don't want to pretend that I've known this all along, but what I have done all along is relied on communication as the skill. So what I have evolved to realize is it's always been about one thing for me. It's been about what's the vision of where you want to go and what's possible and how do you communicate your way there, right? And you communicate your way there first by mining that journey to know what you really know how to do better than anyone else. And then you communicate it first into your brain, then into the brains of the people you need to help you make it happen, and then into the brains of the people you're seeking to serve. So,
yeah,
you know, I think if you'll take the time, I'm not speaking just to you, Sean, I'm speaking to the entire audience. You know, if you take the time to look and say, what did I learn? You know, I turned 60 last August, and I was sitting in a restaurant in the Phoenix airport waiting for
a red eye home because I was flying home the night before my birthday so I could get home for my birthday to be with the family. And I decided to write a blog post about what I learned in my 6 trips around the sun. And it was a valuable and powerful exercise because I've been teaching other people and working with other people on doing this, right? And it wasn't a really long blog post or anything, but it's also the blog post that's gotten the most eyeballs and the most interest. Do that exercise for yourself. You know, I would challenge everybody listening, if anything we've talked about today resonates with you and you think, I really do want to know my message, you know, first you can go to michaelhudson.com/makeover and contact and set up a call with me to discuss that. If you want to go deeper, michaelhudson.com/explore. But just do this on your own. How many decades have you been alive? And if you're, you know, let's say you're 25, you know, maybe you want to do it in 5-year increments, you know, however you want to do it. But what have you learned? Because that there is a thread within that. I will guarantee you there is a thread within that. There is something that you always go back to. And you're going to use that no matter what you do because you have used it over and over and over and over again already. So figure out what it is, and you'll waste far less time trying to figure it out later. Because the sooner you get a handle on what that thing is, because you know what it is, it lights you up. It makes you feel positive. It makes you feel powerful. It makes you realize that this is why you're here. It fulfills your purpose. And you have the power to figure that out. But if you need help, I've given you a couple ways I'd be happy to help you try to do that.
Very cool. Very cool. So as we close the show, we're approaching an hour, and I feel like we could talk forever.
Yeah, we could have a long conversation.
Right, we could go a while. I'll have to have you back.
Awesome, love to.
You know, and continue. So as we close the show, what resources? Let's talk about resources. What resources? I mean, I know you got the book and everything, but. Like, what resources would you recommend, or what resources have you used through the years of entrepreneurship that really, had you not had these, would you have been successful?
Well, the number
would
one
would be a book, a podcast, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the number one would be books. There's no question because, you know, reading to me has been a driver of anything I've ever done because – and I'm sure that's because, you know, that's what I turned to when I was going through the difficult time as a kid. One of the books that I have read, I can't even tell you how many times, Sean, I literally used to carry this book in my briefcase and read it every morning. It's a short book, and it's a book some have probably never even heard of. But it's called As a Man Thinketh. And there is a less gender-biased version for today's world called As You Think. And I think the original book was like 26 pages. And, you know, it's a public domain book now. There's, you know, there have been people who gave it away and found what paths to make lots of money by doing that. But it's a book that makes you think about how you think. You know, similarly, there's an audio recording of a program called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale, which is also We Become What We Think About. And I go there because I think that's the challenge that affects most of us more than anything else every single day. Because if you can't set your mind on what you believe is possible, you will never take actions towards trying to make that happen. So the number one thing for me has been books. As a Man Thinketh is a place I would start as a great place for you to find that way to start resetting your mindset. And, you know, there's lots of other tools on mindset. I actually also, you know, one of my podcast episodes, I think is episode 24. You know, I talked about 6 books you must read to reset, refresh, and re-energize your thinking. And I would encourage you to go check that out. It's Get Your Message Heard, episode 24. And you can find that on iTunes or on my website. And find the books that resonate with you. And here's the other thing about books I have to say, Sean. By the way, that podcast episode is at michaelhudson.com/24. Remember, you're reading books to fuel your mind. It's not about trying to do every little thing every book tells you. That will drive you insane. but that would be the one thing I would say more than anything else has shaped my life. Now, you know, the people are also a big issue, too, that have crossed my paths and I've had the privilege of being engaged with. But from a personal perspective, your engagement with people changes when you talk about books and read books as well. So I'd start with As a Man Thinketh. You know, there's some others that...
anything Seth Godin writes, I think you need to read. I read The Magic of Thinking Big at least twice a year. And I also have to share one more. I love the book, The 25-Year Framework by Dan Sullivan. So I'd like to leave that in people's heads today. Now, that's a book you have to actually get from Dan Sullivan's stuff. But the idea is that if you think about what you want and you think what you want in 25 years, I think sometimes we get so bogged down in short-term thinking and we don't look bigger. And what I love about the 25-year framework, this core concept, in a 25-year period, every quarter on the calendar is simply 1%. You know, so if you have a bad season for a quarter, it's okay. That was only 1%. You know, you still got a 99% shot of things going better. And I use a question that is in that book and that I answer every morning in my journaling. What do I want? But I don't answer what I want today or what I want tomorrow, or what I want next year. I'm writing about what I want in 25 years. Because when I saw 60 cross the birthdays last year, I said, okay, 25 years? Yeah, I got 25 years left. What do I want? And I think about that every day. And I think the more you plant those seeds in your brain, the more you fuel your brain with the knowledge and insight from books and connections with great people, the more impact you get to have. And actually, the more influence you create, therefore, the more impact. And that leads to more income, which I think is those are three things I think we all want more of.
Very cool. Yeah, I got those books, and I'll look at those. I always love to know what resources people use. I'm like, that's great. Like, I would have never thought of that, And so if it works for some people, give it a shot,
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and by the way, podcasts are really cool, too.
Oh, yeah, no, podcasts are, Hey, you know what? I just heard, just off topic, I just heard on the radio, and I listen to here in North Carolina, I listen to 106.1. It's Fox News Radio, because I don't know of any other really like talk radio that's like on the radio worth listening to, or if any on an FM station. But anyway, I like 106.1. But anyway, they had a commercial for iHeartRadio is now the number one podcatcher. I was like, what? I thought Apple was. But what they said was, turn your radio into the podcast and catch all of the podcasts. And they were like advertising for podcasts. I was like, this is the beginning.
It is.
This is the beginning. $341 million market, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So if people aren't getting into podcasts now, you're going to miss it, because in 2019, I promise you, the $80 billion that is into the advertising, marketing, content creation space, advertising on radio and TV and everything is starting to come into the podcast ecosystem. And if you're not in podcast now, you're going to miss out, because 2 years ago, 115,000 active podcasts, Apple iTunes was reporting 115,000 active. There's some that just did 20 episodes and faded out. There's some that did 100 and faded out. 115,000 active uploading podcasts. It's almost to 500,000 now.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Absolutely.
We just scratched the surface.
And it's just the surface.
Yep. What are we talking? Sponsorships, monetizations. I mean, this is gonna be big business. And iHeartRadio is right on top of it. They're in the thick of it. So yeah, that just reminded me. So as we wrap up and close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Answer the three questions I asked at the opening of the episode. What pisses you off? What breaks your heart? And what's the problem you're here to solve? Because you are here to solve a problem, and there is someone who needs that problem solved, and I guarantee you they're in your orbit somewhere. They're going to cross your path somewhere. So become aware of what it is that you find that really feels like an injustice. You know, what is it that really moves you at an emotional level that it's just, I hate to see that happen to people. And then how do you solve that problem for them? And realize you don't have to solve it all the first time you talk to them. Just give them a first step that lets them take a step in the direction of making it better. And then you can come back and give them a next step and a next step. If you'll commit to doing that and recognize that your journey has revealed knowledge to you and insight to you, that no one else has gotten and understands in the same way you understand it,
mm-hmm.
you can change the world, or at least your little corner of it.
Very cool. I love that. Love it. And I've got those three questions. I'm going to start asking myself those three questions. So let's do a shameless plug. You plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, movies, give a shout out, whatever you want. This is your time to shout. Well, I mean, you've been shouting on all episode, but shamelessly plug. Go.
Well, I'm going to shamelessly plug someone else, and we've talked about it in this episode. But, you know, if you're not doing anything October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and you are interested in being more effective in delivering your messages from the stage or in all the high-stakes moments of life, you should get yourself to Philadelphia to Heroic Public Speaking Live. It is an event where you are given tools and insights that will change the way you do everything you do. And it was one of the more it's one of the top three conferences I've been to of all time. In fact, I would put it at the top of my list. And so that would be my shameless plug, because we talked about Steal the Show. You've read it. I've read it. There's powerful and valuable stuff there that will change the way you engage. And every one of us speaks all the time. We speak when we're on social media. We speak when we're having a conversation like this on a podcast. We speak when we're in the front of the room. We speak when we're in a meeting. We speak when we're dealing with our family. So why not become the best at it you can? And if you're serious about doing that, I would encourage you to go to heroicpublicspeaking.com and to click the button and learn about the live event and sign up and spend 3 days in Philadelphia and change the way you see it and up your game. Because life is all about one thing, Sean. You got to step up, you got to show up, and you got to speak up. And that's a great place for you to take a first step to doing all three of those things. Step up to get there, show up as you, and learn how to speak up.
Love it. Oh, man, I love that. Absolutely. Great way to end the show. Couldn't end it any better. So, yeah, I want to thank you so much for the knowledge that you've given, the amazing conversation that we've had. So incredible to have you on the show. You're absolutely doing amazing, amazing things, and I look forward to a continued friendship with you.
Outstanding. Back at you on every bit of it, Sean, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share this time with you. I've enjoyed it a great deal, and look forward to our next interaction.
Absolutely. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest, an amazing episode. If anything resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and review Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Google Play Music app. Also, check out Michael Hudson's podcast, Get Your Message Out. It is an amazing show. Go to Michael Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, michaelhudson.com, and you got to connect with this guy. He is incredible. As I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great day.